Namaste. We'll just give another minute or so because I'm seeing people joining in. Okay, we'll start. Sadashiva Samarambham Shankaracharya Madhyamam Asmadacharya Paryantam Vande Guru Paramparam Om. So let's do a quick recap before we get into the subject of today's class. Maybe we will be able to do only one. We will see, you know, as we go through the class. Till now, we have actually covered Purushartha in the first session, and then we also studied about the Varnashrama Dharma. After having completed that, we moved on to Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga, Jnana Yoga, as well as Bhakti Yoga. I just thought I'll very quickly go over some of the key aspects that we saw here. In Karma Yoga, we saw about Uttama, Madhyama and Adhama Karmani, that is karmas that will bring about spiritual upliftment, which will cause spiritual stagnation as well as downfall. We saw them. And we also saw about Pancha Mahayajna, the five different types of yajnas that we do, Deva Yajna, Pitri Yajna, Manushya Yajna, Bhuta Yajna, right? And we also saw Sakama and Nishkama Karmani. Basically, Sakama Karmani means asking for something for your family, your profession, your children, etc., one's own self upliftment. And Nishkama Karmani are the Karmani that we do for the benefit of the society, for the people, Sarve Janaha, Sukhino Bhavantu, etc. Right? And and I also said that Uttama Karmani and Pancha Mahayajna, all of them can be done with Sakama as well as Nishkama angle. So if you do with the Sankalpa, which is Nishkama, then it leads to what we call as Chitta Shuddhi or mental refinement. And with mental refinement, you will be one step ahead in your Jnana Yoga journey. So this was what we saw in Karma Yoga, and we also talked about another very important aspect in Karma Yoga, which is the action itself being done with Ishwararpana Bhavana and the result being accepted in the form of Ishwara Prasada. Then we went on to Upasana Yoga, where we saw the four types of meditation, right? Value, the first one was of course relaxation, then concentration meditation, expansion meditation, as well as value meditation. We saw four types of meditation, and all four types of meditation help in the refinement of the mind and your ability to understand Jnana Yoga better. And in Jnana Yoga, we saw that there are three aspects, Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Shravanam happens to be the actual consistent and systematic study of the scriptures under a live and competent guru. So that becomes Shravanam. And after some time, consistent study of the scriptures, whenever you have doubts, you can clarify those doubts with your guru or by, you know, reading multiple textbooks in the form of multiple scriptures, in the form of, you know, Upanishads, Gita, as well as, say, Brahma Sutra, you will be able to clarify all your doubts and remove them completely, and your jnanam will become what we call drida jnanam or nishamshaya jnanam. Then once we do that, after shravanam and mananam, we have what we call as nididhyasanam, which is for assimilating the teaching per se and becoming one with the teaching. Now, in this, we remember, you might recall the example that I gave you, which was on the Dasharatha drama, the skit that the Barbers Association put together, because our nature is generally being, you know, used to being a samsari. It takes us quite a while to claim the higher I and actually assimilate the teaching and live that teaching. So that was Jnana Yoga. Then in the last class, we also saw about Bhakti Yoga, and we saw that Bhakti is part and parcel of every other yoga that we have seen. So I also said that Bhakti Yoga itself can be considered as Bhakti Yoga in the form of Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga in the form of Upasana Yoga, Bhakti Yoga in the form of Jnana Yoga. And we saw how with that reverential attitude, we perform all these yogas, and therefore Bhakti Yoga becomes, it's sort of in and through all the other yogas we saw. We also saw a very important concept on Jagat Karta Ishvara, Jagat Karanam Ishvara, and Jagat Adhishtanam Ishvara. A few of you had written to me about Jagat Adhishtanam Ishvara, and you know that it's not very clear. The only thing is you can think of it as God being the creator, God becoming the creator, and then God himself appearing as the God becoming the creator, God creating the world. The first one, sorry, I made a mistake. God creating the world is the first one. The second view is God becoming the world. And the third one is God as the world, God appearing as the world in simple terms, right? Now, the third one, which is called Ishvara Adhishtanam, basically is the Adhishtanam of the Jagat, right? Is the substratum or support of the Jagat, is what we will learn in Jiva Aishwarya, Jiva Ishvara Aikyam as well, right? So that is the third level of, you can say Bhakti, you can say Upasana, that's the final ultimate goal where Jiva and Ishvara are one and the same. We will come to it when we come to the subject of Jiva Ishvara Aikyam, right? So Jagat Karta Ishvara, Jagat Karanam Ishvara, and then Jagat Adhishtanam Ishvara. So we saw all of these in the last class, and we had also actually said that ultimately we need a mind which is completely refined and relaxed to understand and assimilate Vedanta. For this, we need Chitta Shuddhi, and that is achieved through Karma Yoga, Upasana Yoga, both soaked in Bhakti, right? So that is something that we saw till the last class. And in the last class, we also saw preparatory disciplines, right? And before we moved on to preparatory disciplines, I talked to you about the book, the text itself being called Tattva Bodha, and that is the book that we are actually summarizing and using here. And I also talked about the four preparatory disciplines, like it's a prerequisite. Just like we have, say, for doing graduation, you have to finish 12th standard, etc. For undertaking a Jnana Yoga study, we need, that is a Jnana Yoga journey, we need four Ds, as we call it, which is discrimination, dispassion, desire for moksha, and discipline. So discrimination is nothing but nitya anitya vastu vivekaha, knowing the difference between the permanent and the impermanent, that is vivekaha. And viragaha is dispassion, and this is nothing but freedom from all types of addiction, obsession, craving, any kind of sensory slavery. Adharmic has to be avoided, and dharmic has to be in moderation, right? So freedom from all types of emotional hooks, meaning, you know, mastery over your sense organs, is dispassion. And I also said that dispassion does not mean controlling the mind or suppressing the desire, right? It is not controlling or suppressing, but it has to happen gradually, like a child growing out of toys, etc. It has to come with a mature mind, right? And then we saw Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti. And as I said, Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti is very, very important, because these sixfold disciplines are the one that actually will give you so much of refinement and quietitude in the mind. So we saw Shamaha, which is thought discipline, Damaha, which is sense control, Uparamaha, which is withdrawal or quietude. Titiksha, which is endurance or forbearance. Shraddha, right, faith in the scriptures. And Samadhanam, which is concentration or focusing power. And I also said that these can be developed over a period of time through Upasana, right? And it is referred to as Daivi Sampat in the Bhagavad Gita. And by doing Upasana Yoga and also regularly involving in the various types of Panchamahayagnya, you will be able to develop Shamadhi Shatka Sampatti. And in the process, the desire for moksha will get kindled, or it will become a burning desire, such that instead of Jnana Yoga, that is Shravanam and Mananam, or Shravanam being just a hobby or a 1 hour a week session, it will become so important that we will have exclusive time for the scriptural study and we would start embarking on that journey. So these are the four D's that we saw last week, or this is called the preparatory discipline, right? The four D's are nothing but the preparatory disciplines, right? Now, let us move on to a very, very important topic today. Now, it is called Shariratrayam, okay? Now, the next technical word that the Shastras introduce is Shariratrayam. Shariratrayam means the threefold bodies of an individual, right? Trayam means threefold and Shariram means body. So, Shariram is also otherwise known as Deham. Therefore, it can be Dehatrayam, Dehaha. And therefore, we can say Dehatrayam also. So, Dehatrayam and Shariratrayam means the threefold bodies. Now, what is Shariratrayam? That's what we are going to see today. Now, it might appear like a biology class, right? Because it is dealing with anatomy and physiology, right? But this is how the Shastras look at the components of a body. So, let's go over it. Now, we will take each one of the three bodies and analyze, okay? Now, while many of us will be familiar with the Stula Shariram, right? I'm not sure whether we would have had exposure to Panchabhutas, but Stula Shariram all of us would be familiar with. Then we have the Sukshma Shariram, we will speak about it. And third one is the Karana Shariram. So, Stula Sukshma Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram in English is referred as causal body, right? Please note, because there could be a spelling problem, it's not casual, it is causal body or Karana Shariram. That's the translation used as causal, right? Now, for each one of these Stula Sukshma and Karana Shariram, we will do it methodically, and I will also present a table at the end of it. So, in case people are getting lost during, you know, the slides, don't get worried. I have a consolidated slide which will give you a summary of all the Shariram's and all these four factors, right? So, the four factors are, for each of the bodies, we will see the material out of which each body is made, the components or the parts, right? We will see the second factor will be the components or the parts. The third factor will be the function of each body, right? Material, components, function, and finally, the nature of each one of them. So, we will see this for Stula Shariram. We will see this for Sukshma Shariram. We will also see this for Karana Shariram. Now, let's move on to Stula Shariram, right? Now, the material for the Stula Shariram, right, Shastra points out, and we also know that gross body is made up of gross matter because we are able to see, right, and feel it, right? Now, the scriptures basically divide matter into five elements, and not the elements of chemistry as we have studied in the chemistry classes, right? So, Shastra talks about the five elements. Now, you might have known by now, you must have guessed. First one is Akasha or space, right? The second one is Vayu or air. Third one is Agni or fire. Fourth one is Jalam or water. Fifth one is Prithvi or earth. So, the gross body or Stula Shariram is made up of gross matter in the form of gross five elements. In Sanskrit, the gross five elements are called Stula Pancha Bhutani. So, Stula Pancha Bhutani. And this is easily proved by our experience also. Our body has got earth. It is solid stuff. And the body has plenty of water. I think it's about 70% or something, which alone gives the shape. Now, that's the reason why after cremation, what is left of the body is hardly very less amount of ash that comes out, because the water is all evaporated, right? So body has got plenty of water, which alone gives the shape to the body. Body has got Agni in the form of temperature, which is maintained at 98.7 or so. So we have the warmth of the body. The body has got Vayu in the form of life breath, right, or prana. And body has got, of course, Akasha, space occupied by the body externally and, of course, inside the stomach and sometimes inside the head also. So that is Akasha. So what is the material? Gross matter is the material out of which the body is made. And since it is made out of Stula Bhutani, right, so we call the body as Bhautikam. Okay, and it is Bhutam and not Pretam, Pishasham, etc. Bhutam here refers to elements, right? The body is called Bhautika Shariram. Bhautikam means born out of Bhutas. Bhutas meaning gross elements. So, this is the material, right? So, this is the material out of which Stula Shariram is made, right? Very important. Now, you might know that along these lines only, if you see the religious side of it, we have five different lingams, right, for each one of them. The earth or the Prithvi lingam being in Ekambareshwar temple in Kanchipuram. The water, right, or the Aap lingam being Jambu lingam in Jambukeshwar temple in Tirunavakkaval. Fire, Agni lingam, Jyoti lingam in Arunachaleshwar temple of Tiruvannamalai. Air or Vayu lingam in Kalahasti in Andhra Pradesh. And you have the space, Akasha Lingam in the Natarajar temple in Chidambaram. So, Chidambaram Ragasyam is nothing but the space being worshipped as Lingam. So, obviously, there is no idol there. So, these are the religious aspects of it, because our Hindu religion always connects religion and spiritualism through the Veda, Purva Bhaga and Anta Bhaga. So, these five represent the Pancha Bhutanis, and we are ever grateful and reverential towards the Pancha Bhutani. Right? So, this is what we saw. Stula Pancha Bhutani makes up the gross body. That is the material. Now, let's go to the components of the Stula Shariram. Okay? The first one is the central body. Right? Then, head, hands and legs. It is referred in the Taittiriya Upanishad as Shiraha, Pakshaha, Uchaha and Atma. Atma. Atma here refers to the central body, right? So, Shira means head, Paksha means two hands, and Uccha means legs, and Atma means the central body. Now, the Punya Papa Karmas that we have done in the past births, we will be responsible for the type of body, whether human or animal body, whether male or female, whether healthy or sick. All of these are not accidental. Our scriptures never accept anything as accidental, right? Even an accident is, there is a reason, right? There is a law of karma acting. Birth is not an accident. So, if a baby is born with congenital diseases like Down syndrome, etc., it is not considered an accident in our Shastra. It is the result of karmas of our Purva Janma, the previous birth. So, our Shastras very firmly emphasize the fact that there can be no effect without a cause. So, when a baby is born with such conditions, one has to logically trace the cause to the previous Janma only, right? And incidentally, this conclusion will also affirm the birth, death, rebirth cycle. We will see more about it under law of karma. So, Panchabhuta plus Purva Janma Karma is directly equal to the cause of the body. So, the Samanya Karanam and Vishesha Karanam. So, karma is the Vishesha Karanam, which determines the quality and type of body, the kind of family that we are born into, etc. Right? Now, further among the different types of bodies, being born in a human body itself is considered to be a very great blessing, because there are so many bodies like animals, plants, millions of species, right? But the human body is the most sacred body, because in that alone we are able to probe into life and actually undertake a meaningful spiritual journey, right? Manushya Shariram is the only Shariram that way where we have free will and we can make use of the opportunity of this human birth to pursue a spiritual journey. Now, moving on to the function of the gross body, right? Now, it is like a leased house, right? Now, the body, you can compare it with a house that you have taken for lease. What is the payment? The payment is in the form of our karma. So, you can term it as punya papa karma dollars, as Swamiji puts it, right? And with the help of karma dollars or whatever currency you have got, you, until the payment remains, the tenant, the house will be available. After that, notice will come and you will have to vacate. Now, sometimes the notice may not come also. Therefore, body is a temporary residence. In Sanskrit, Tattva Bodha uses the word ayatanam. Okay? Ayatanam is the word that is used, and residing in this body alone, we do all the transactions with the world. In fact, before starting any transaction, first we normally fix up the residence, right? So, like that, in this context, the body is first fixed up because we have to go through the experiences. Now, the body or the ayatanam is the abode for the experiences, which could be pleasurable or painful or mixed. It can be sukha, dukkha, or it can be a mishram, right? And all transactions are done through the body. So, this is the function, right? So, the function of the gross body is to provide residence, right? Now, what is the nature? The nature of the gross body is, it is avikaram with modification, okay? Subject to modification. The body is subject to modification. Shadvikaram, right? Asti. First, there is a potential existence in the womb of the mother. A baby is there inside. Next is jayate. So, the birth of the child happens. Then is vardate. Then the body starts growing. The mother wants to see the child growing healthy, right? So, this is the third stage. Then you have viparinamate, maintains. So, there comes a stage, right? After, say, 18, 19 years, it stops growing and it changes. It undergoes changes, right? Or it just maintains at the same kind of, the way, approximately same weight, not too much height change and all of that, right? So, thereafter comes the declension, apakshiyate. Say, after 45 or 50, slowly you can see that the person grows old and it starts, you can see the declension or deterioration. And then the sixth one is vinashyati or perishes. So, the gross body's nature or stula shariram's nature, yes, it is subject to savikaram, sixfold modification, shadvikaram, right? Savikaram means with modification. And the nature of the gross body is, it is visible to both oneself as well as others. We can all see the body, right? Others also can see the body. I can also see the body, right? So, that's the second nature. The third one is, the body, the stula shariram is for a finite duration. Assume maximum 120 years, right? 100, 120 years. You cannot extend it beyond that, right? So, these are the factors of the nature, right? Of the gross body. Now, we've seen the four factors, right? We saw what it is made up of, right? And then we saw the function, and then we saw the components as well as the nature, right? So, we have seen that for stula shariram. Now, we will move on, right? Now, before we move on, only one thing you must remember is, Gita says that, Vasansi jirnani yata vihaya navani grinnani naroparani tata sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani sanyati navani dehi. In chapter 2, Krishna talks about, how the body is discarded and you take on a new body, right? Just as a person gives up worn out clothes. So, the body's duration is finite. That's all you need to know from the nature aspect, right? Now, let's move on to Sukshma Shariram. This may be new to many of you, the concept, right? So, let us see what is referred to as Sukshma Shariram in the Shastras, right? It is called subtle, first of all. Why is it called subtle? Because unlike the gross body, which is tangible and perceptible, the subtle body is not visible to others, right? you will see that mind is one of the aspects of the subtle body. So you cannot see it, right? Now we will see the constituents shortly. And so in the sukshma shariram, it is subtle body, and the raw material out of which it is made is nothing but the five elements itself in subtle form. Now I'll try and give you an example so that you can relate to it better. The way I relate to it, I don't know whether this is a good enough example, but the way I relate to it is, it's like water and water vapor, right? Both have the same constituent, but they are in different states. So similarly, pancha bhautikam is something that is, gross and you can feel it. The same thing in, say, energy form or in vapor, we don't use the word vapor form, we say energy form or subtle form is sukshma bhutani. So the same five elements, you will have subtle space, subtle air, subtle fire, subtle water and subtle earth. So in general made up of subtle matter, and therefore subtle body is also bhautika shariram. It is material, right? It is material in nature, except that it is subtle, right? So it is made up of pancha sukshma bhutani. Now it has 19 components, okay? We'll see this in detail because it's obviously new to several of you. The first one is pancha jnanendriyani, five sense organs of knowledge. We'll see the details shortly, so I'm only enumerating them. The second one is pancha karmendriyani, five organs of action. Five sense organs of knowledge, five organs of action, pancha pranadayaha, right? And that is the five types of breath. We will see that. Or breathing or prana, and then antakaranani. We will see what is there in each, under each one of these in detail, because we need to know this for the purpose of our discussions going forward, right? So you can think of this as, if the gross body is like an office, right, then the sukshma shariram is like the instruments for transacting within that office, right? You can consider it that way, right? So your gross body is the exterior office, and then you have the instruments within the office, like a computer, a table, a desk and all of that, which is the 19 instruments which are inside. This is a very, very rough example, right? So let's see what pancha jnanendriyani are there, right? Let us see. The first one is chakshuhu, eyes, right? Which are responsible for rupam, form, colors, right? Second one is shrotram, that is the ears, right, which is shabda and sound, right, which is responsible for shabda, hearing and the sound, and because of sound, shabda becomes available to you. Just like form and colors comes to you through the eyes, shabda, the words, etc., comes to you from the ears, right. Granam is the fourth, or granam is the smell, right? So anything that you smell comes through the nose, right? And rasana, tongue, is responsible for the taste. So if you look at each one of these as a sensory organ and the sensory field that it is throwing open, you will see that form, colors, sound, smell, taste, etc., and touch actually represent the sensory fields. And you will notice that one sense organ actually has exclusive control over its own sensory field. So you cannot use, say, the ears to judge the form or colors. Similarly, you cannot use the eyes to judge the sound. Each one has its own area. This is very, very important, the first one, right? So this is the first point that you have to note. Secondly, when we refer to pancha jnanendriyani, we are not referring to the golakam. That is, we are not referring to the exterior eye or ear or nose. That is stula shariram. Anyway, we have already covered the parts of the body. We are talking about the power of the eyesight, the hearing ability, the smelling ability, the tasting ability, right? So we are talking about the power of each of these organs. We must remember that, because this is subtle, right? And it is the subtle power that we are talking about. Very, very important. So we refer this as indriyam, right? Indriyam refers to the power behind the golakams which make them operate. Now, for each of these powers, you have a corresponding devata that is blessing it. Very, very important point, right? Now, for hearing power, we have a devata called Dik Devata. For touch, we have Vayu Devata. We have Surya Devata for eye. We have Varuna Devata for taste. And we have Ashwini Kumara for the power of smell. Now, if you consider the whole, the total power of eyesight across the universe rests with Ashwini Kumara. Let me stick to just one of them. The total eyesight rests with Surya Bhagavan. Assume that we are just talking about one power, that is eyesight, and the total power of eyesight rests with sun, and a part of it is blessing your golakam, your eye, in your gross body, and therefore you have eyesight. Like that, each devata blesses a particular amsha, and that is the amsha that will give you that power. So there will be a different deity for each one of these. That is why you will see that in some people, when there is a problem with, say, one arm or one leg or eye, or we'll see the legs actions also, organ of actions also, one eye, the eye will be there perfectly all right, but the eyesight is not there, right? So it is the devata that is not blessing the particular person. So the total power of the eyesight is resting with Surya across the universe, and the portion of it which is present in the in that particular person or jiva, as we see, is that small portion which is blessing that particular person's golakam. So all that you have to know is Jnanendriyani is referring to the indriyam or the power, right, of each of these five different organs of knowledge. Then moving on, now in Pancha Karmendriyani, these are the organs of action. Similar to Jnanendriyani, we have, these are the organs of action, the first one being organ of speech, Vak Indriyam, right? First one is Vak Indriyam. This is how we respond, right? And then we have through verbal response. Then we have organ of moving, carrying, lifting, which is Panihi. Then we have organ of locomotion, right? Padaha, right? And then we have organ of excretion, which is Payuhu. And then we have organ of reproduction, which is Upastaha, right? So we have these five organs of action. And the beautiful thing is that Jnanendriyam and Karmendriyam work together in a very, very uniform, integrated and friendly and synergistic manner. For instance, suppose I want to attend a class in some place, right? My ears want to listen to it. My legs will take me there automatically. Similarly, you are very hungry and you are in the house and you get some smell from the kitchen. Then the smell is felt by the nose, but your legs will carry you there. They work together, right? And so it's a very, very interesting and integrated way by which they work. Actually, only when you learn so much about Sukshma Shariram, you start appreciating how beautifully all these things connect. Now, for this also, as I said, we have Devata. I am not going into the details of Devata for everything. Wherever possible, I will just mention. So, for Vak, right, it is Agnihi, right? Then you have Indra Devata for power of handling. Then we have Vishnu Devata for Padayoho, for the legs, right, Vishnu. And then you have Payo, that is the presiding deity for cleansing the residue or remnant, is Mrityuhu or Yama, Yamadharma Raja. Then for Upastha, we have Brahma. Brahma is the creator, and therefore he has the total power of creation. Now, just to appreciate how beautifully our Puranas are connected, I said that for Padaha, Vishnuhu is the Devata. And this you will see in Bhagavata Purana, how, you know, in King Mahabali's story, how Trivikrama Avatara, he showed his power of movement with his legs. Mahavishnu showed the power of movement with his legs. So our Puranas are also very beautifully connected with some of these aspects. Then the next one is Pancha Prana. Now we finished 10. Pancha Jnanendriyani, Pancha Karmendriyani 5, and the third set is Pancha Prana. Pancha Prana Dayaha. Right? Now this you must be familiar. Anybody who is doing Parisheshanam would be familiar with this. Pranaha, Apanaha, Vyanaha, Udanaha, and Samanaha. Prana is the respiratory system, right? And we have Apana, which is the evacuatory system, which is the energy behind the function of the evacuation system. The wastage is removed through that. And any form of waste removal is Apana. Then the third one is called Vyana. Vyana is the circulatory system, right? Oxygen has to be carried, right? And the nutrition that is generated in the stomach also has to be moved from one place to another, right? So that is all done by Vyana. The next one is Samana. Samana is the digestive system which converts all eaten food into nutrition, carbohydrates, proteins, etc., right? And it has to be converted, and then you sort of take it and then convert it into energy. So this is called Samana. And finally, Udana. Udana means the reversing system which operates, very, very important concept, at the time of death. Generally, when all the processes are reversed because it is time for dying. So the digestive system weakens, the respiratory system weakens. Therefore, we require something to reverse the process, right? And also, the reversal system not only functions during death, it also functions during emergency situation. Like normally, the food has to go down. Suppose you take something toxic, right? Immediately, it will be thrown out. So vomiting is a reversal, not a regular process, right? So that is how your Udana works, right? All five are very, very important, right? And they are the ones which supply the energy to the Karmendriyas. Okay, very, very important. They are the ones that supply the energy to the Karmendriyas. Then we have the four. We have finished 15. The four we have as part of Antakkaranam, right? The four internal organs are mind, intellect, memory, and ego. Now, mind stands for all forms of emotional faculty, emotions basically, right? It is called Sankalpa Vikalpatmakam Manaha, right? It means, should I do this? Should I do that? Should I go to class? Should I not go to class, right? Should I get up? Should I not get up, right? That is mind. And the second one is Buddhihi or intellect, right? Which is the rational faculty or the judging faculty, the discrimination faculty, the knowing faculty, the reasoning faculty, the weighing faculty, right? It reasons out. Is this the rational mind, you should say. That will be the buddhi or the intellect. The third one is chittam, right? The chittam is nothing but the memory faculty to receive or record our experiences in the mind. So we are talking about, we attend a class, you know, we absorb that and then we are able to bring it out. Now, very important is chittam records all five. Which all five? The five that we saw on the two slides before. Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandha, right? All of them are recorded, right? And then you can play back at some other time whenever you need it. So that is chittam, right? Chittam is the memory faculty and it is very, very important. And the fourth one is ahankara or self-reference, reflexive faculty. I, mine, right? That is ahankara or the ego, which is extremely well developed in human being. Animals are not self-conscious about their status, their pedigree, etc. But for the human being, that is very, very important, the ego, right? Very well developed. Now, all these four together are called the chatvari antakkaranani. So, totally we have pancha jnanendriyani, pancha karmendriyani, we have pancha prana, and we have chatvari antakkaranani, which is manas, buddhi, chittam and ahankaram, right? So in fact, manas is presided over by moon, right? You must be knowing that already, right? So these are the 19 organs. Now let us see what is the function and nature of the sukshma shariram. Now the function is transactions. All forms of transactions are done by the sukshma shariram with the help of these 19 instruments. Some instruments are meant only for input. Some instruments are meant for output, like sensory organs for taking in organ action, for acting, and some are meant for both. One way traffic, two way traffic. Okay, mainly the mouth is two way traffic. It takes inside also, and you words come out also, right? So most of the others are one way, right? This is the third factor, right? And then coming to the nature of sukshma shariram, this nature is also subject to change, right? They sometimes improve, sometimes they weaken. In fact, in many cases, the diseases are because of the weakening of the organs, right? You have cataract coming in, eyes are not able to see, ears go deaf, memory fails, intellect becomes dull. All these are subject to improvement and weakening. So change is one's feature. Now the change can happen either at the sthula level, which is the physical level, or it can happen in the sukshma shariram level, which is, you know, the power itself may be diminished. The power in the form of it can be the eyesight may be diminishing because the power is withdrawing slowly. So the problem can be at the sukshma level or sthula level. Physical things, physical problems are sthula, physically what you can see. But if there is a power that is missing, that will be the sukshma shariram level problem, right? And subtle body has a longer life as compared to the gross physical body, right? That means, according to the scriptures, at the time of an individual's death, very important, only the gross physical body of the person dies and the subtle body continues to survive. And the subtle body is set to travel in search of another physical body. It's like any instruments, right? If one perishes, we get another. So, the sukshma shariram, why should it go in search of another physical body? This is because physical body is the residence or the shell remaining in which only the subtle body can undertake all transactions. It cannot otherwise function, right? That is why the subtle body survives and travels to find a new physical body, right? Because it is imperceptible, we cannot see it traveling, right? So we could have an argument saying, see, I am not able to see the subtle body, right? So maybe it doesn't exist. Why should I believe that, right? So the way we respond to this is, now there are people with pain, there are people with emotions, etc. We are not able to see that. It doesn't mean that a person is not in pain, the person is not having any emotions, right? Therefore, what we say is non-perception is not a proof for non-existence, right? We don't see other people's mind or emotions, but that does not mean that they don't have mind or emotions. So the Shastra clearly says that the subtle body survives the death of the physical body and takes another body, right? Now, how long does it survive, right? It keeps on moving from one janma to another, changing the body. I just quoted from the Gita on Vatamsi Jirnani Yata Vihaya, right? So the body keeps changing, but the sukshma shariram continues. Now, the sukshma shariram continues all the way up to what we say call as the Mahapralayam, right? So during the Mahapralayam, that is end of the Brahma's one day, right? That is when the sukshma shariram is dismantled. So it has a longer life, right? And sukshma shariram is evident, is recognizable only by the self, because you can recognize your feelings, right? And you know you about your memory, you can complain about a memory, right? It's not a problem, right? And so mind and your own body, you will be able to sense these powers if you're hungry, if you have a problem with your emotions, right? So a sukshma shariram is felt by oneself but cannot be seen by the other person, right? My mind is perceptible to me but not to others. So from pralayam to pralayam, the sukshma shariram will continue, but it is not perceptible to others, right? Then the natural question will be, why don't we remember, right, anything from our previous birth, right? That can be the question that occurs naturally to you. The reason is our chittam or our memory in general is not capable of storing this mind for immediate recall. Though our karma phalam, the prarabdha karma, we will see more about it, is getting transferred through the karana shariram, etc., through sukshma shariram, etc. But we will not be able to recall specific incidents because our chittam cannot, is not capable of manifesting memory of such a long time ago. Even as we grow older, we are not able to remember what happened at the age of 1, 2, 3, etc. That is one. And second is, very often we hear, if you look at the internet, you will see, we hear a lot of children remember their previous births and they are able to take us to their families. Now, remember that most of these memory recall of the previous janma happens in small children. That is because they are still able to recall and go back, right? A small child is able to do that. This is the second point. And the third point is, definitely there is Purva Janma Vasana because we see child prodigies, right? When the person has, there is no knowledge of music in the family, the child suddenly is able to sing and identify ragas at the age of 1 and 2. That is possible only because, you know, it is carried on from previous janma to this janma, except that we don't remember it as remembrance, right? So that is an important point that we have to note. Now, the next shariram is Karana Shariram, right? Karana Shariram is the third body that we have to see now, and it is the causal body, right? Now, it is also referred to as Avidya. This is very important. We use the word Avidya because it is made of the subtlest form of matter, which is technically called Avidya. Sometimes we call it with Prakriti, and the word Maya is also used for this, right? Now, so Karana Shariram consists of Stula Sukshma Shariram in seed form, right? So, it means before the origination of the world, right, Pralaya Kale, during the Pralayam time, the Stula and Sukshma Shariram was available in seed form as the Karana Shariram. A tree that you see now, right, would have been a seed a few years back. So, the unmanifest potential form, right, of the body is called Karana Shariram, and it is said that the Karana Shariram carries all the karmas of the past janmas. We'll see more about this when we come to law of karma, right? So it is very important to note that the potential form of the two bodies is called Karana Shariram, the material causal matter, and the components of the Karana Shariram are Stula Shariram and Sukshma Shariram in seed form, right? That is all. And you can say unmanifest matter, energy, whatever you want you can say, but it is just unmanifest and in extremely subtle form, unmanifest form, right? And in Gita, Krishna says, right, avyakta vyaktya sarvaha prabhavantya haragame ratyagame praliyante tatrai vakyakta samyake. Now Krishna says, with the coming of the day, at the time when Brahma wakes up, right, all manifested things, right, that get, it all gets manifested, all things get manifested, all creatures characterized as moving and non-moving emerge, that has become manifested, and from the unmanifested is the state of sleep, right, of Prajapati, and from that avyakta it all arises, it says. Basically, when Brahma sleeps, there is pralayam, and when Brahma wakes up, there is creation. So, in a day, there is this cycle. So, pralayam happens when Brahma goes to sleep. And that is in some, a day is equal to some 80 crore years or something like that. You can Google it up and check, right, for Brahma's day. So, now, so the causal matter we saw, and then the function of this is, it's a receptacle from which the gross body and subtle body arises. Because in pralayam time, what happens is all of them are in causal state, Karana Shariram state. So from that they have to arise, right? When the creation happens or the manifestation happens. So it is a receptacle from which the gross body and subtle body arises. And the nature of Karana Shariram is, it will not be destroyed during pralayam too. Very important. So, even during pralayam, only the subtle body gets resolved into the Karana Shariram, right? It is in a nirvikalpaka swarupam, not visible or evident to anyone, but it is still there. So, basically, the Shariram will get destroyed only through liberation. Otherwise, it is in a anadi, no beginningless cycle, endless cycle is this karana shariram, sukshma shariram, stula shariram and back. It keeps on going in cyclical order. So this is a consolidated table for you to take a look at the sharira trayam. Whatever I have spoken so far has been consolidated into these three types of gross body, sati body and causal body in a tabular format. So you can look at it whenever you know you want, so that it is just in one slide, right? Now let me take questions now. Let me see if you have questions. Soumya, are you there? Let me just see if I can get the question. Soumya?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you. I think there was an audio loss in between.
Oh, okay. But when was that?
A short time.
Okay. So did anybody miss anything? That's why I just, because I didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I think just one moment. So I think it wasn't much, as in I just in this one. So you can start with this one.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just trying to see the questions.
There is nothing. This one, just.
Okay. Now, how do I? I'm just trying to see the. Yeah. There are questions, right? Yeah.
Yes. Sure. Do you want me to read them?
Yeah, yeah. Please, if you can, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll come from this one. So, in Sukshma Shariram, if it moves from one body to another, then where does Swarga and Naraka come?
Okay. When we say body, I didn't touch upon that aspect. The body need not necessarily be a human body, first of all. So it can be any body. So it can be across any of the lokas, the 14 lokas. So the body can be in the form of, Deva Sharira. It can be any other Sharira also. So when I say Sukshma Shariram will take another body, the body can be in any loka, in any other form also.
Okay. Does the vapor like subtle body comprise both of thoughts and vital airs?
It comprises of something to the, you know, equivalent of energy, right? That is the equivalent that you can say. Sukshma Shariram is Sukshmam, right? And it does carry all the karmas in subtle form. So, it's in the form of memory or vasana. The word correct word used is vasana.
Okay. So, chitta shuddhi. This chitta is the memory you are referring in this session.
No. Chitta shuddhi is the purity of the mind itself to become subtler and subtler. In the slides that I used today, it is referring to just memory faculty, right? Specifically to memory faculty.
Sthula Sharira is destroyed when one dies. Then how is it go with the subtle body? How does it go with the subtle body?
It doesn't go with the subtle body. The Sthula Shariram, we will be speaking about death during the next two sessions, maybe in the third session from now, we will be doing that. But what happens at the time of death is basically the Sthula Shariram is dropped. There are some more aspects that you have to learn before I complete my sentence. But for now, you can assume that Sukshma Shariram travels at the time of death. Immediately after death, the Sukshma Shariram quits the body. actually, as per Shastra, death is defined as Sukshma Shariram quitting the body.
Okay. Is Kundalini energy a variant of prana or a psychic force?
All of these, to the best of my knowledge, has to do only with Sukshma Shariram. So it is either, you know, the Karmendriyani, Jnanendriyani or Pancha Prana or the Antakaranani. So all of them are related to energy. Even the pranic healing, all of this is connected with the Sukshma Shariram only.
Okay. I don't know this thing of this question. Is there any particular geographic significance of having specific lingams in specific places?
Actually, this is not connected with Vedanta, but I also looked up. But very strangely, they seem to all be lining up on 79 degrees or 78 degrees. So it almost seems to be on a straight line, except for maybe Chidambaram, which is falling slightly to the one side. So, but I'm not aware of any other significance, but it definitely appears too much to be a coincidence. There must have been some reason for lining them up like that.
Okay. And the specific question was, like, for example, why the Akashalingam in Chidambaram and not in Kanchi? I think I've been...
Okay. I was thinking more latitude and longitude. Okay.
Yeah.
No, I don't know why something was in one place. But I guess if you take, say, Thiruvanakaval, the river is flowing there and water is also there. So it makes sense. But I am not sure about the other temples.
Right. Moksha or Samadhi, does it mean the dissolution of the three bodies?
Moksha, yes. And we will define moksha. And we will see that in detail in another two sessions. Moksha is, I don't want to just make a statement like that. I would rather, you know, go through it in an orderly fashion. Yes, you're somewhere there, yeah.
Okay. Any other question?
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's it for now, madam.
Yeah, let me just do the Purnamada. Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Thank you.
Thank you.